Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2020. Let's start in prayer. Heavenly Father, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Look with compassion upon the heartfelt desires of your servants, and purify our disordered affections, that we may behold your eternal glory in the face of Christ Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So I actually started recording, or I thought I started recording, and I've gone through all the verses, and all of a sudden I looked down and realized I guess I didn't hit the recording button precisely. And so I've been talking for 20 minutes and it's all lost. That's okay. I guess it's a practice run. Got my coffee. Maybe I didn't let the coffee sink in enough before I started. It's a house blend. Starbucks house blend that I brewed just a little bit ago. It's a challenging time in our country at the moment. So why don't we turn then to our catechism? We are a whole new section now. The Apostles' Creed, Article 1. We're on page 35 of the catechism. Question 36. It's possible I could get through 37, but I highly doubt it just based on how much there is to discuss on this one question. Now, we're working off the Apostles' Creed, which is the typical for catechisms, is to use the Apostles' Creed as opposed to, say, the Nicene, or could you imagine the Athanasian Creed? I think that you could do a whole catechism probably just on the Athanasian Creed because of its length. So the very first statement in the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in God. I'm going to actually, since the catechism doesn't do it, I'm going to define the word believe so that we all are on the same page about the word believe. The very first definition of the word believe is to accept something as true, feel sure of the truth of. The example it gives is the superintendent believed Lancaster's story. This is opposed to, say, the second definition, which is to hold something as an opinion, think or suppose. I believe we've already met. So one thing is a very sure statement. I believe to be true. I believe the earth to be round. I know that to be true. I've seen satellite photos, the flat earthers notwithstanding, and all the sort of fun that could be there and poking fun at that. I believe the table that I'm working off of is flat. I believe in God. I believe in God. So then, what is this thing do I take to be true? I'm saying that it is true. Is who? So question 36, who is God? God is one divine being, eternally existing in three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Trinity. So we're going to start off, of course, in Deuteronomy, and this is what's called the Shema. Or Shema? Anyway, I'm probably mispronouncing it now that I've thought about it too hard. And I had it all set up to start the very first one, and I didn't reset my pages. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. There it is. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Next is Psalm 86, 8 to 10. Lord, there is no one like you among the gods, and there are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Next is Isaiah 44, 6 to 8. This is what the Lord, the King of Israel and its Redeemer, the Lord of armies, says. I am the first and I am the last. There is no God but me. Who, like me, can announce the future? Let him say so and make a cause before me, since I have established an ancient people. Let these gods declare the coming things and what will take place. Do not be startled or afraid. Have I not told you and declared it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God but me? There is no other rock. I do not know any. Next is Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Next is also from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Next is 1 Corinthians 8, 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Yet for us there is one God, the Father. All things are from him, and we exist for him, and there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. All things are through him, and we exist through him. And the final one is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The word of the Lord. So I'm going to flip back to Deuteronomy 6, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord your God is one. So St. Ambrose, in a book called Duties of the Clergy, Book 1, Chapter 2, Item 7. This is under the section, Manifold Dangers Are Incurred by Speaking, the remedy for which Scripture shows to consist in silence. So, I'm going to read the whole section. Let us hearken then to the master of precaution. I said, I will take heed to my ways. That is, I said to myself, in the silent bidding of my thoughts, I have enjoined upon myself that I should take heed to my ways. Some ways there are which ought to follow. We ought to follow. Others as to which we ought to take heed, we must follow the ways of the Lord and take heed to our own ways, lest they lead us into sin. One can take heed if one is not hasty in speaking. The law says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 6:4. It said not, Speak, but hear. Eve fell because she said to the man what she had not heard from the Lord, her God. The first word from God says to you, hear. If you hear, take heed to your ways. And if you have fallen, quickly amend your way. For wherein does a young man amend his way, except in taking heed to the word of the Lord? Be silent, therefore, first of all, and hearken, that you fail not in your tongue. I chose that mostly because I like that hear instead of speak. Hear what the Lord says to you. Hear. I think our present age does way too much speaking and not enough hearing. Let us hear what the Lord says in his word. Then maybe speak. Words are dangerous, so listen to the Lord. Let's see. I want to jump back into the New Testament, to Matthew, the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened before him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So in this, we have the triune revelation, or one of them. Jesus is there, the Spirit of God is there, and God speaking from heaven. Three distinct persons, and yet working in perfect unity. God speaking from heaven, Jesus on earth, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. Three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet a Holy Trinity. Back in Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, your Lord, the Lord your God is one." These are difficult things. We don't want to fall into any of the heresies. There's multiples. One of the main, maybe not main, but the easiest one maybe to fall into is modalism. Let's see, where's my, it's not very loud, is it? I was trying to play a fire-breathing dragon. It's really way far back there. Let's see if I can do that again. Sounds. Yeah. All heresy should be burned. Modalism is this. So I'm going to describe modalism so that you don't fall into it, because it's very easy. We hear descriptions of, like, the egg analogy, the shell, the white, and the yolk, or the water analogy, water, ice, and steam. The problem is it is still one thing. To explain that God is not, it's better to explain what God is not. God eternally exists as one nature in three persons, but is not like any of these analogies. I think I've made a mess of my little description here. God is, each one has a distinct operation. Each of these descriptions are of a thing in a different form. God does not simply change form. He is still one God, and yet three persons, each doing distinct things. All those other things are wrapped up in a singular unity, rather than having separate functions and yet uniting a whole. Not functions. Functions is a bad word. Oh my gosh, I'm going to butcher this. Anyway, modalism, maybe this is a bad idea, I'm trying to describe a heresy. God is three persons and yet existing in one unit, in one God, one unity of purpose, eternally existing before all time, sharing something in common that we do not possess. The air, of course, of the water ice steam is, those exist at different points in time. They must exist simultaneously. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all exist simultaneously with each other and yet are one unity. So the water, ice, and steam breaks down because of that. That was modalism. Modalism's bad. Believe what Scripture has revealed to us, which is these individual workings. You know, think of Mary. The Holy Spirit will come over you with power. And then the Son of God is born. You know, those are distinct operations of different persons of the Trinity. And yet, in somehow, some way, they all exist in a unity together. We are talking about a being who exists outside of time. It would necessarily be true that such a being would be very difficult for a finite mind to wrap their heads around. So I think we simply must accept certain things as being paradoxical, meaning they don't seem like they can be true, and yet they are true because that's what God has revealed to us. That's what he has told us about himself. So then, God is of one substance, in the Greek, ousia. So, all common to three persons, common to all three persons. So, the Son is consubstantial with the Father. And the person, in the Greek, hypostasis, what the differences are. The Father is the principle and the source. The Son is begotten of the Father, and the Holy Spirit proceeds. This is, of course, where you get to the argument between the East and the West about who the Holy Spirit proceeds from, whether you say proceeds from the Father and the Son, or proceeds from the Father, as the Eastern do. The argument the East would make about saying proceeds from the Father only is that you're giving too much, you're giving more definition to the Holy Spirit than you are to the Father and to the Son. And if you want to add, and the Son proceeds from the Son, you need to give additional definition to the Son and to the Father. It's a complicated argument. They are common in their operation, one God in operation, but the three persons are at work, but at work differently. All who raised Jesus from the dead. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Also the Son, John 10:17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So, one operation and yet in distinct persons. I think that's better. I was getting a little off track trying to talk about modalism. So let's, it's like one of the analogies that's used is those who are counted in the Secret Service, part of the Department of Justice, counterfeiting unit. To look for counterfeit bills, they do not look at counterfeit bills. They look at the real bill, study the real bill. And then when they see a fake bill, it's noticeable because they know what the real one looks like. So in understanding thoroughly the concept of who God is, by studying who God says he is, you'll notice the fakes when they come along. when people try to twist scripture, or when Satan is getting them to twist scripture, I think is probably a better way of putting it. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. I think of Jesus's rebuke to Peter, you know, Peter saying, Jesus saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, suffer and die. And Peter says, no. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. These ideas are not original to us. This is the father from the father of lies. The evil one works through people who are not hearing God. And I think that's a way in which we can feel compassion for those who do not speak the truth, is they're believing the lies that are being told to them. And we have truth with which we desire to share with them. Obviously, this can lead to some conflict as we discuss what truth is. But then we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us in sharing truth, and that they might believe. Because belief comes from God. Now, turning to Anglican formularies, there's not actually, there's a little bit, but it's only the from the Articles of Religion. I tried to find something in the homilies, but they don't really address directly the Trinity in any of the major themes. There's a bit of it interwoven in some of them, but I didn't, none of them, and this is me skimming them. Please don't think that I have studied in depth all the homilies. No, this is me skimming them. They're written, the version I have from, what, 1859 is better than, say, the original, which is like reading Shakespeare and takes a lot more engagement. Though I was slightly tempted with the homily against, what does it say? The homily against disobedience and willful rebellion. But that might be a little preachy this morning. And so, faith, the Articles of Religion, number one, there, faith in the Holy Trinity. There is only one living and true God, who is eternal and without body, indivisible and invulnerable. He is of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. He is the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. Within the unity of the Godhead, there are three persons who are of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have any familiarity with the Book of Common Prayer, you will hear quite frequently, glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. There are lots of triune statements within the liturgy. So, you know, it's definitely woven into the Book of Common Prayer. Cranmer definitely... let's see. So, morning prayer or reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there's a statement of God, of the Father and the Son. Let's see, is this right? No. The following pointing of the Gloria may be used. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Or write one. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Previous collect. Visit this place, O Lord, and drive far from it all snares of the enemy, that your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace, and let your blessing be upon us always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen. it's interwoven through the whole of the, like here are the propers. They all end with Holy Spirit. Well, let's see, not all end with. So here's some variations. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Again and again and again. So it's present in the Anglican formularies, definitely in the prayer book, definitely. Well, I'm up on 25 minutes. I need to wrap it up. I got pushed past my normal time for doing this sort of thing because I spent 20 minutes recording nothing. So let that be a lesson to myself about making sure the timer is actually running. We need to find a prayer to close this with. Thank you for listening. You can provide feedback. AmateurAnglican@gmail.com, AmateurAnglican@gmail.com. There's the Coffee and Catechism discussion group on Facebook. That's open. I did add some membership questions because I had a couple of people join who were obviously there just to post junk. They posted something about making money during the coronavirus, and I immediately excised them from the group. So I've added some questions and that you have to agree by the rules. Basically, let's just make a discussion about the catechism or things related to the catechism. Obviously something related. They were probably fake profiles anyway, and I was naive in letting them in. Twitter page, all that sort of stuff. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review. The review is very important to raise the visibility of the podcast. Again, this is about encouraging you to pick up the catechism, study the catechism, and to encourage your church to engage with the catechism. I think a lot of our current strife and arguments would be lessened if we spent a little more time discussing the fundamentals of the Christian faith rather than looking at the entrails of Marxism. So let us close in prayer. Thank you for listening. Pray for all of you. And let's see, what's a good one to close? O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.